Welcome to episode 5 of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Abilene, Texas, headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, I'm your host, Trey Gibson. Today, guys, I'm pumped about today. Let me tell you why. Today's topic is what I refer to as the golden nugget topic. It is the one. If you looked at me and said, Trey, I only have enough time to listen to one podcast, which one would you pick? It would be this one. It is a super small concept. It is a super easy concept. But if I could get most folks to figure this one out, all of the other ones we're pretty well trained on for the most part. Now, I won't look you in the face and say all you need to do is listen to one. Parenting is diverse. It is multifaceted, and there have to be a lot of things that we need to know on how to do it. You can't say that you need to know how to put a car in gear, and then you know everything you need to know about it, right? You need to know more things, like how to change lanes, how to turn on signals, how to make appropriate stops, how to turn the car off, right? We got to know how to do that type of thing. So, I'm not saying this one is the only one that you need to know. However, in most cases, most people are taught at least sort of well how to do the rest of these things. And so today, our golden nugget topic is going to be this. It's going to be praising your kids. Now, you've probably already heard a lot about this already. You've kind of heard me talking about praising your kids. One of the topics a few episodes ago was building your kids up. And so, you know, we visited a little bit about that already. So today we're going to go in depth in it. We're going to take that topic that we've covered an inch deep, and we're going to take it a mile deep today because it is so important. Remember what we talked about a few episodes ago. When you build your kids up, you get more things out of them that you want. When you build their self-esteem up, right, how they feel about themselves. When you build their self-concept up, what they think about themselves, then what happens is we get a lot of really good stuff. So I want to use an example with you guys today, and I always call it it's so goofy, guys. Forgive the goofy the name of it, but I call it the love bank example. And so it goes like this, right? You guys have opened bank accounts before. When you start out with a bank account, where are you? You've got $0. When you put money into that bank account, what's that called? That's called a deposit. Right? So you keep making deposits and you keep building up that bank account. So you've got this nice big fat bank account built up, right? Well, then when you take money out, whether that be through a check or cash withdrawal or whether that be a debit, right? Through your debit card, right? When you do that, what's that called? It's called a withdrawal, right? If you keep taking withdrawals out and withdrawals out and withdrawals out and then you hit zero and then you keep taking money out, what's that called? It's called being overdrawn. Okay? So the key to good banking is that you want to be sure that you're making more deposits than you are withdrawals. Relationships, whether it be your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mom and your dad, or most importantly in this case, your kids, your relationships with them operate on the exact same level. So let's just take my wife. If I come home tonight and I bring my wife a dozen roses, right? What is that? Deposit or withdrawal? That's a deposit, right? That deposits into her love bank account. Again, forgive the goofy terminology on this. But that's a deposit, right? Then let's say I take the trash out and she doesn't have to remind me to take it out. Now for her and my wife and her personality, that is a flipping huge deposit to her because she loves it when I remember to take the trash out with her having to like remind me that it needs to be done. I mean, she's to that point, she'll chunk the flowers in the trash going out the door because she's so excited that that trash is going out without being reminded. That's just her personality. So let's say I do that, and then let's say I tell her that she looks beautiful, right? That's another deposit. But then let's say, and I don't ever do this, guys, but let's say I turn around and said, man, your dinner tasted like crap. Now, if you could see my gut, you would know that that's not how I really feel about my wife's food. But let's say I tell her, man, dinner tastes like a big giant dog turd, right? What is that? That's a withdrawal out of that same account, right? And then let's say I tell her that, man, she must be lazy because she sits around the house all day and she doesn't ever work and she eats bonbons and watches soap operas, right? Another withdrawal. And then let's say I tell her that, man, I tell you, you smell like junk, man. What'd you do today? Take a bath with a skunk, right? And I don't say that to my wife ever. But then what does that do? It's another withdrawal. So let's say now I'm down at zero. And then let's say I say, hey, babe, could you make me a sandwich? what's going to happen? Now, I can hear some of you guys go, that woman better get up and make me a sandwich, right? But you got a good relationship with your wife, one that's built out of respect and trust. What's going to happen? She's probably not going to get up and make that sandwich. Who would want to do that? Our kids operate on the exact same principle. So many parents want to tell their kids, go do this, do that, obey me, listen to me, do what I'm asking you to do. But you know what? They don't have crap worth of a relationship built up. They don't have those deposits built up into the account. And then they ask their kids to do something, or they ground them, and they tell them, don't do this, and then what happens? They go right back to doing it again. Why is that? It's not because they don't have good parenting techniques. It's not because they haven't been taught the good ways to discipline a kid. It's because they have zero relationship built up with your kid. And when there's no relationship, there is no compliance, which means they don't do what we want them to do. And that's the key right there, is we've got to figure out, how do we build our kids up? How do we make more deposits than we make withdrawals? Now, we're going to cover later in another episode how do we minimize the amount of withdrawals. But today, we're going to focus specifically on how do we make more deposits in our kid. Now, remember, I am not one of those touchy-feely, feel-good-all-the-time type parent educators. It's not what I'm saying you need to do. I'm not saying your kids need to feel good at all the times, and you never should approach them on anything. We need to set limits with our kids. We got to have boundaries. If a kid's lining a butter knife up for an electric socket, you don't just sit there and make them feel good about that. I want my kid being scared to death of sticking a butter knife in an electric socket, right? It's the way a good parent should be. However, there needs to be much more emphasis on the deposits than there are withdrawals. That's what we're going to talk about today. Remember, we've talked about in almost every single one of these so far. It goes like this. The more positive experiences that our kids have, the better they feel about themselves. The better that a kid feels about themselves, how do they act? They act better. So remember, we talk about positive experiences that our kids have. Remember, negative experiences can be two things. Number one, hearing us say, no, no, stop it, quit, uh-uh, that's bad. No, that's not what I'm looking for. You need to do better, right? We got to do that with our kids sometimes. That's one negative thing. The second thing that can be negative that's more tricky and more elusive to most parents is this. It is negative experience for a kid if they don't ever hear anything from us at all. If we don't ever say anything to them, if we don't ever tell them, good job, way to go, you're getting it right, that's what I'm looking for. That is just as negative of an experience to a kid, which feeds into them feeling worse about themselves, which feeds into them acting worse. So we're going to flip it. How do we talk about the good stuff? So you guys are probably like, okay, some of you out there are like, why in the world are you spending such a big time about this? Why do you think so highly of this praise? Guys, research supports this as well. Research article after research article after research article that I'm reading shows that kids do better, for instance, with their grades. Kids get better grades when they feel better about themselves. Kids that make better grades typically feel more confident in themselves. Kids who get better grades typically do better in their sports. It's funny how it works. But the bottom line is, when we feel better about ourselves, we're more confident and we do better in things. So another research article I just read a few days ago that was really good. Kids that feel better about themselves are more socially adapted, which means they do better. They pick better friends. Their friends treat them better. They treat their friends better. They have less drama with their friends, right? Which is what all of us want from our kids, is to do better with social. We want them picking better friends. We want them having better experiences. How do we get them there? We praise our kids. We build them up. We make those deposits. They also found in that same study, kids that come from homes that they're praised more are more persistent at things. You show me a kid who gives up quickly. You show me a kid who puts a little bit of effort into it but then gives up and thinks that they can't do it. I'll show you a kid who doesn't feel very highly about themselves and who have had a lot of negative experiences. Even if those negative experiences aren't being told how bad of a screw-up they are, maybe it's just an issue that they've never been told how good they are, because they're not getting anything from you. They're not hearing anything from you, right? So, why do I think so highly of it? The job of a parent is this. We need to be teaching our kids what we're looking for. What do we want them to do? Most of the time, when I have parents sit down in my office that are coming for parent education, Trey, I don't know what to do with my kid. He's acting a fool, going crazy. I don't know what to do. When I get families talking to me about this, here's what they mostly focus on. They focus on telling their kids, no, stop it, quit, uh-uh. There's that focus on that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with addressing bad behaviors. We have to. We have to in our kids, but we need to be spending way more time telling our kids what we're wanting them to do. So that's why I think so highly of this. Now, there's problems that come into all of this. Why do parents struggle with this? Why is it such a problem for so many parents? Number one, this is one of the biggest things that I see sitting in my office, is this right here. They expect their kids to know what to do, to just know. Well, they should just know better. Bull! Bull stinking junk. No kid should come out of the womb just knowing what's right and what's wrong. I mean, try to imagine it in reverse. Imagine you start a new job today, right now. You walk into your new job, starting right today. And you walk in and you don't get any training, and all of a sudden you start going to work, and you're doing the best that you know how. And then all of a sudden you mess up, and your boss comes in and says, you're fired. Is that fair? Of course not. Of course not. That isn't fair. If you don't receive the appropriate training in your job to know what your boss expects from you, crap, no, it's not fair. And it's not fair for your kids either. My wife and I, we have a rule in our house when it comes to discipline. Corey and I, Corey's my wife, and you guys got to hear her on the podcast the other day. But Corey and I, we always give our kids a one-time rule. If it is their first time for us to get onto them, no matter how big it might seem, we give them just a warning and say, hey, it is not okay to do that. For instance, the first time that one of them swung at another kid to try to get what they want and tried to hit them, we'll tell them one time, hey, that is not okay to hit your brother or to hit your sister. That ain't okay. We'll tell them one time. Now, why is that, guys? You tell them one time because they might just not No, but a lot of parents jump right into the discipline. They turn right to those negative experiences they have with us right there at the start because they say, well, they should know better than that. Who says? If you've never stepped up as a parent to tell your kid this is not okay, then how are they supposed to know that's not, right? So remember, give your kid a one-time rule. If it's not okay, talk to them one time about it, right? So remember, guys, remember, one of the themes that y'all hear me come up with over and over and over in this, right, is the behaviors that we feed are the ones that survive, right? So remember, one of the biggest things about this is we can't just expect our kids to know what to do. We have to show them the ones that are okay, and then they have to be getting fed. Those behaviors that we want to keep seeing fed have to continue to be fed, right? So if only no is fed, stop it, no, bad, quit it, uh-uh. If we only spend all of our time focusing on what they're doing wrong, what's not okay, only telling them when they're screwing up and not getting things right, what's going to happen? Your good behaviors are going to die. That's just the way it is. If you have two separate cages for two separate dogs, and you bring one of them food every single day, and you bring them food, and you bring them food, but in the other kennel, you don't ever bring them food, you don't ever bring them water. You never feed them, ever. What's going to happen in a week, maybe 2 weeks? What's going to happen? That dog is going to die. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid here, guys, but behaviors, what our kids do, how they act, whether it be good behaviors or behaviors we don't want to see in them, they operate on the same principle. If you're only feeding the bad ones, you're just going to continue to see more of those. But if you're feeding the good ones more food, those are the ones that are going to survive. Because those are the only ones that get attention. I see it in my kids all the time. I'll realize that if they're acting up and acting a fool and going crazy and being bonkers and ballistic, what I'll begin to realize is that there's some way that I'm feeding them. And if I can figure out what those are and then stop feeding those and then spend way more time emphasizing it when they're getting it right, guess what happens? I'll see those behaviors, disappear. So another problem that I see families in my office, what I'll see them really struggle with is this. Parents often say, okay, this is about parents. We're talking about our kids. Yes, it starts with the parents. Parents often suck at giving and receiving praise. It's the bottom line to it right there. parents, for one, here's one of the number one things I'll see. First off, guess what? Their parents never praised them, right? Their parents never praised the parents that I'm working with in my office, never got praised by their parents, they never got told good job and whatnot. So guess what? They've never gotten into the habit of learning how to praise people, so they don't praise their kids. It's natural. You know, that's the problem with the majority of the folks, of the parents, and even in myself, what I've seen in myself. It's not an issue that we have bad habits or anything like that in all cases, but it's just that we've been taught by our parents this is the way you do it, and then we believe that this is the best way, or we believe that it's the only way, and then we continue to practice stuff, and we don't ever stop to educate ourselves. Is there another way? So a lot of times parents are just never praised as kids, and so they grow up and then they do the same thing to their kids. Second off, you know, I don't know, especially about our international friends that listen in here. I don't know about you guys that are from Germany and Poland and whatnot, but here in America, we are quite talented at rejecting compliments. So somebody compliments us, wow, that's a beautiful dress. Oh, this old thing is the thing that I'll hear him say. They'll be given this beautiful gift as a compliment, and then what do they turn around and do? They reject it, and they say, well, this old thing. You know, say, oh, man, you're just an amazing guitarist. Oh, you're just being nice. Right? I mean, we are quite clever. I mean, we are taught from a young age to reject the compliments that are given to us. We're told to not agree with or accept the compliments that are given to us by other people. And then more often than not, after we've rejected them and knocked them down, what do we do next? We tell them that they're wrong. And then in reality, we're actually much worse than what they said. What is that teaching your kids to do? You got it. It's teaching them to knock compliments out of the air, not accept them. I mean, I want you guys to think about it. Where does that become such a big deal? That has a very big propensity to become a big deal when they become adolescents, right? Because adolescents really struggle to identify themselves with who they are. Up until that point, who's made decisions about everything they're going to do in their lives? We parents have. And adolescence is where most of them begin to realize, oh yeah, hey, I'm my own person. I can choose what I want to do. Some of those things are what my parents like, but so you know what? I disagree with my parents on some things, right? That's where they begin to learn those. We call that autonomy, right? That I'm by my, you know, I can do my own things on my by myself. It's a beautiful thing, but it's also a time of a kid's life where they're very unsure of themselves. Am I making the right decision? Is this the right thing? And so, as parents, when they're in this stage, what do we want to do? We want to build them up. We want to make them feel themselves. We want to tell our daughters, "No, I don't care if he broke up with you. You are so beautiful." And we want them to take that and to suck it into themselves and to believe it, right? Because it makes them feel better. And then the better they feel about themselves, the better they act, right? That's what we want from them. But in reality, most parents are teaching their kids to reject those compliments and to not take them in and to make them a part of themselves. In a lot of cases, the problems that most of the kids are having that parents are bringing to me, Trey, help me with this. What do I do? The parents are the one who started them. Now, I'm not saying that to be hateful. I'm not saying that to be hurtful. I hope by now you guys are picking up on the fact that I care about you guys as my audience. That y'all are important to me and I want y'all to experience these things. So I'm not saying these things to be hurtful, but to show you. Look, we're often the ones teaching our kids the worst habits they have. It's not the kid across the street. It's not the kid at school. It was us. We taught them. So when it comes to accepting compliments as a parent, I want you guys to imagine a football receiver. Now, for my international listeners, my international friends, first off, I'm referencing American football in this case, acknowledging there's a different terminology across certain countries. But in American football, there's what's called as a receiver. And that receiver is a person on the line who runs routes. And that person will run, and if the quarterback sees him, he'll pass him the football, right? So they'll throw the football at him, and they catch it. Right, so the idea is that they catch it, they receive it, and they run for as many yards as they can get before they're either tackled or they make their touchdown, right? So I want you guys to imagine this. Imagine you've got a football receiver. They say hut, the football runs. The receiver runs. He does his route. They throw the ball. He's in the position where he can make it all the way to the touchdown. But that receiver keeps his hands behind his back. What's going to happen? That football is going to bounce off his helmet, it's going to hit his chest and fall off, it's totally going to go right past him even though it was easily catchable, right? So this is exactly what most folks will do with compliments. They will throw this compliment at them, and it's something that all they have to do is catch it and receive it and take it inside and own it and say, man, I am a good this, or I am a good that, or I do have a good handwriting, or my dress is pretty. Okay, guys, I don't wear dresses, but you get the point, right? You get the point. I do a real-time example of this with folks that come in my office, and what I do is I take a paper ball and I wad up a piece of paper into a nice ball, and I say, put your hands behind your back, and I say, catch this, and I toss it to them. They don't catch it, right, because they keep their hands behind their back like I ask them to. I say, give that back to them. So they give me the paper. I say, now, keep your hands out in front of you, and I toss it to them. Well, when you got your hands out in front of you where you can catch it, guess what happens? Boom! It hits their hands, and they catch it, right? Compliments are exactly the same thing. We need to be catching our compliments when they're thrown at us. Why? It's not just about you. It's not just about you. It's about teaching your kids. If you are not prepared to receive compliments when they come at you, you will reject them. And if you reject compliments, who is watching you to learn everything in life that they're going to do? Your dadgum kids are. So let's break down real quick why it is we do this, and then we'll move on here in just a second to how do we receive a compliment. How do we accept compliments, right? So why do we do this as humans? Number one, first off, the main thing that I see in my office is low self-esteem in ourselves as parents. You know, I've got families that, I think that they've been told that we're supposed to put themselves down. I think some people try to justify it by calling it humility. Well, I'm just being humble. You know what I call that? I call that false humility. Genuine humility takes a look at the strengths that we have and acknowledges those, but then also the weaknesses that we have and acknowledges those. False humility just focuses on the weaknesses. It doesn't allow ourselves to build ourselves up, because when we build ourselves up, we're better able to build other people up. False humility says don't do that. Just focus on your failures and weaknesses. It's a false humility, and it's not genuine. So number one is, why do we do this? Low self-esteem. We don't feel like we deserve it. Bull, guys. Who told you that you don't deserve compliments? Because I'd like to visit with that person, square in the face, tell them, you are wrong. You deserve compliments. You deserve to receive those compliments. There are things that you do, and yes, the person who is listening to this right now, the parent who is listening to me and my voice, there are things that you do that are amazing. Absolutely amazing. And you deserve recognition for those. That doesn't make you a better person because you're good at those. I'm a really good parent educator. I have trained myself. I have taught myself. I know how to love and care about people and the folks that I work for. All of those things that you need, the constituencies that make up a good parent educator, I have those and I work really hard at them. But you know what? What keeps me from being anything else is that I know in my heart that it doesn't make me any better than anybody else. I'm a really good daddy because I work really hard at being a good daddy, but it doesn't make me any better than somebody else who struggles at being one. That's the difference right there. You deserve the compliments that are thrown at you. Research has shown that. Somebody comes up and gives you a compliment and you reject it and turn it down. Oh, no, I'm not that good. Or, hey, you did a good job on this. Oh, I could have done better. Research shows that if you knock compliments out of the air, do you think people are more or less likely to give you a compliment later? Research shows that they are significantly less likely to come back and compliment you next time. So when you reject people's compliments rather than receive them, you are setting yourself up to get fewer compliments later. It's very important. You deserve to be complimented. Accepting a compliment says, hey, I'm worth it. And I'm worthy of that compliment. And then what does that communicate to your kids? That it's okay for them to accept the compliments that maybe we give them, one of their friends gives them, that a teacher gives them, that a coach gives them, that somebody from the church gives them, whatever. It teaches them that it's okay to accept that, right? Number two, why do we do this? Why do we do this thing where we knock compliments out of the air? Second off, some are just taught to do that. They're just educated. It's not even necessarily that they feel poorly about themselves. It's just what they've been socialized to do. Oh, this old thing. Oh, I just look fat today. I mean, there's just these things that we're taught. I had a family member growing up that always would say this. They'd say, hey, how you doing? They'd say, oh, for an old fat guy, I'm doing good. They just never build themselves up, so they don't receive compliments. We're just trained and taught to do these things. Third off, another thing that I've seen is, Why are parents, why do they kind of tear themselves down or refuse to accept praises? They're afraid that they're going to become conceited. The definition of conceit is this: when you have an excessively favorable opinion of yourself or something. That is conceit, guys. It's okay to think favorably of yourself. It is okay to be aware of what you're good at. As a matter of fact, I will tell you this. If you don't know, you are not in a good place. And you need to get to a place where you can acknowledge what you're good at. However, you must balance that with your knowledge of what is also your weaknesses. We all have them, guys. I have them. You have them. Your parents have them. Your kids are going to have them. And that's okay. Your kids need to be aware of them as well. But they need to be balanced with what are they good at and what are they bad at. Research does not back up that phrase that if we praise ourselves or that we accept compliments, we're going to become conceited. Or if we praise our kids too much, load of crap, guys. You cannot praise your kids too much. Research has been showing that for years. As a matter of fact, you show me a kid who's conceited, who has that excessively favorable, man, I'm all that in a bag of chips, man. I tell you, I'm the most amazing dude ever. You show me somebody who's doing that crap, and here's, you give me 30 minutes with him. What I'll show you is this. This is a kid who feels like crap about themselves. You give me 3 months, and I'll show you that they've got all these bad experiences. What happens is we're designed as humans to operate on a certain level of normalcy, right? So imagine you got this flat line, like on a graph, right? You know, like a charting graph. So you got this flat line, and here's this line, and this is where normal is for most people, and feeling good about themselves, right? And that may fluctuate up and down a little bit. Everybody feels a little better about themselves some days and a little worse about some days. Some days they may have a big dip, right? But they'll bounce back up. They'll come back, and then maybe they feel good by the next day, right? That's what most normal folks do, is they operate in that normal level. Well, on a person who has low self-esteem, that feels crappy about themselves, who thinks crappy about themselves, they operate on this line way down lower on this graph, right? So what they do is guess what these statements are, where they're trying to have that excessively favorable opinion of themselves? Guess what that's an attempt to do? That's an attempt to try to bring themselves up to a normal level. It takes a lot of work to try to build our own selves up to that higher level where we feel good about ourselves. Because most of the time, when people feel bad about themselves, what kind of friends do they pick? Friends that pick bad about themselves and feel bad about themselves. And so how do they treat this kid? They treat him crappy, right? So in a lot of ways, when people become conceited, we get so angry and upset with folks that are conceited. But in reality, it's just a defense mechanism. It's just them trying to build themselves up. Now, don't get me wrong. They've stuck themselves in that situation with these friends and whatnot in many cases. But it's also our responsibility as a parent to bring them up, right? We've got to increase those positive experiences so they feel better about themselves so we can get them acting better, right? So let's just end real quick on this. How do you accept a compliment without putting it down, without knocking it down? First off, what does your face need to look like? Do you frown at them? No! What do you do when you're accepting a compliment? Smile. Look pleasant. Look friendly. Look fun. Push your eyebrows up, right? Widen your eyes open. Smile a little bit at them. Make eye contact. All that other good stuff, right? So number one thing you do. Second off, anytime somebody gives you a compliment, what do you say? You say thank you. Do you say thank you? No, you say hey, thank you. Here's some of the things that I recommend. Say hey, thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you saying that. That makes me feel good. Those types of things. Let them know what's going on with you. Let them know that it makes you feel like, man, I really appreciate you. Thank you for saying that. Makes me feel really good about myself. Let people know that type of thing. And then third, I always recommend shake their hands, touch them, whatever it is that you need to do. Let them know that you appreciate them through physical touch, right? If you can. In some cases, it may not be appropriate. But if you can, let them know that you appreciate them. So smile, look pleasant, say thank you, shake their hand or something like that when you can. That is how you accept a compliment, guys. There's no magic formula behind it. It is not hard. It is not tough. Don't overcomplicate it. Just do those types of things. So now let's move on to my next favorite topic. This is my favorite part, guys. So let's talk about now. We know what praise is. We know that we often refuse praise. We've talked about how to stop doing that. So let's do this now. Let's break praise down. Praise is not as simple as you think, would be my guess. Because there's two different types of praise. Number one, praise that we give our kids for what they're doing. Okay? So this is just praise for something that our kids are doing, right? This could be an action that's performed. Maybe it's a rule that they obeyed, right? Maybe it's a value that is honored in the household. So what are some of those types of things? Number one, if we tell our kids good job for putting their clothes in the laundry hamper, right? Maybe it's we tell them good job for bringing home good grades. Maybe we tell them it's good job because they tied them shoes. We tell them good job for making it home by curfew, right? Maybe we tell them good job for doing what's asked the first time. Hey, I want to tell you thank you for doing what I asked right when I asked it. I really appreciate that, right? Maybe it's telling one of your little kids good job when they share their toys with their little sister, right? You know, hey, good job for sharing your Buzz Lightyear doll with your little, I'm so proud of you. Good job, right? This is praise for doing. This is something, whenever they do an action, we give them a compliment, a praise. We need to be doing that. Many parents know about this one, but they're not doing it very much, right? They only want to have to step in when their kids are screwing up. Remember, that is a crappy parenting technique. Make sure you acknowledge your kids whenever they're doing good. Everybody, every single flipping buddy on this planet needs recognition when they're doing things well. It's just the way we are as humans. Now, well, Trey, some would argue they can survive without it, and people do all the time. But I will tell you this. When it comes to their mental capacity, when things are going on up here, maybe they're functioning, maybe they're working a job and they're okay, but I'll promise you this, they're not doing as good as they could be. They're not maxing themselves out. It's like running a car with a dirty air filter. Can you do it? You most certainly can, but I can guarantee you this, the performance that you could be getting out of that car is not as good as it could be. And it's the same with people. If they're not getting praise and recognition for when they're getting it right, maybe you're a boss, a CEO, an exec of a major company. If you're not praising the people underneath you for what they're doing and then teaching them to praise the people underneath them, I'll promise you this, your company is not doing as well as it could be. Sole promise. One of these days, I'm eventually going to move over and I'm going to start another branch of this business I'm running. And we're going to do something about this with how do you work with your employees. So make sure you're praising your kids for what they're doing. Second off, and I think in a lot of ways this is the most important because we don't talk about this very much. You also need to be praising your kids for just being. The phrase that we often frequently use for this is unconditional love. Your kids need to know that you love them no matter what. That there is no amount of screw-ups, there is no amount of jack-ups, there is no amount of rebellion, there is no amount of hurt that they can inflict that will cause you to ever stop loving them. Does that mean you gotta like them at that moment? Absolutely not. I have amazing kids. And you wanna know what? I don't always like them. I don't like them. I don't like my son when he's doing that little whiny thing that he does because he hurt himself just a little bit and he starts whining. I hate that. It irritates the snot out of me, and I do not like my daughter when she lies to me. But you know what? The one thing that'll never change, I will never stop loving him. And I let him know that all the time. There is nothing that you could ever do that will make me stop loving you, and I just want you to know that. Your kids need to know that you love them. No matter what they do, okay? They need to know that this is the love they don't have to do anything to earn. They do not have to perform for you. They don't have to bring home straight A's for you to love them. Yeah, we always want our kids to do really well. They don't have to do all these different things to earn this love. They need to know there's nothing that they can do to earn this. This is one of those phrases that if you praise that they get for just being, if you did one of these, and they asked, well, why are you saying that, Daddy? Why are you saying that, Mama? The answer would always be, just because. Just because. There's nothing that they did. There's nothing that they do. You need to be praising your kid just for being a crap ton all the time, anytime you're thinking about it. It's very important. Think about it. Kids are learning how to be responsible adults. So the process of learning how to be a responsible adult is that in some cases, you're not going to be acting like a responsible adult. Why is that? It's because they're kids. Your kids are going to mess up. It is a guarantee, I will promise you right now, if you're a perfectionistic person, you need to get over yourself and expect your kids to mess up. As parents, you need to be teaching them what's right. Okay? So, here we go. They need that unconditional love. Here are some phrases that I recommend. Hey, sweetie, I sure do love you. Well, the answer would be, well, Dad, why? Just because. No reason. I just do. I just love you guys. One of my favorites, you're so special to me. I want you to know just how special of a kiddo you are. I always expound on that and kind of take it a little further, and I'll say something like, I am so glad that you're my kid. If I could pick any kid in the world, every kid was set up in front of my front door, and I could pick, I always ask them, you know which three I would pick every single time? And Grant and my daughter Anna, they're my oldest two, 3 and 5, they always know the answer. You'd pick me, and you'd pick Grant, and you'd pick Cora, and they always get giggly about that. Because I want them to know. They didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice when it came to my kiddos and what they were and who they were. But I want them to know that now, if I had a choice, I'd still select my daughter, Anna, and my son, Grant, and my other daughter, Cora. Every dadgum time. And I let them know that in all cases. I want them to know that I love them. If they said, well, why are you saying that, Dad? The answer would always be, just because. Just because. The problem with this praise that kids get for being, just being themselves, is that we frequently overlook it. It teaches our kids, in the biggest sense, that nothing they can ever do will cause us to stop loving them. And I genuinely believe, guys, that it is the most powerful form of love. Now, you need to be praising your kids for what they're doing. You need to praise them whenever they're playing together and they're not fighting with each other. You need to praise them when they walk in that door at exactly midnight or earlier when their curfew is midnight. You need to praise them for doing that. It's very, very, very important. So, the goal of a parent when it comes to this praise stuff, what is it? It's to build up that bank account as much as possible, right? One of the primary things about it is we've got to accept a freaking compliment ourselves. I'm going back over that again because so many families I've worked with really struggle with that. You need to be accepting a compliment. It teaches your kid that it's okay to accept a compliment. And it's not just about you, right? This is about our kids and what they're seeing us do. But I want you to feel good about yourself. Research shows when a parent feels better about themselves, guess what? They're more likely to praise and build up their kids. It's very important to remember that. The better that you feel about yourself, the more likely you are to build your kid up. So, let's talk about how do we do that. I want you guys to be a mile deep on this pray stuff. How do we praise our kids? Number one, whatever you're doing or working on or whatever you're watching on TV, your kid comes in and says, Dad, look at this. Stop what you're doing. Stop. Stop dividing your attention between two things. Think about, why is that so important? Number one, it stops and it gives them their complete and total attention and it says, what is important to you is important to me. Now, to you and I as adults, tying our shoes is probably not that big a deal. To you and me as adults, buttoning the buttons on our shirts is no big whoopee, right? But to a kid who's never done it before, the first time that they get it right, that is huge. Right? So stop what you're doing and tell your kids, oh, sweetie, that is an amazing drawing of an octopus. Now, it probably doesn't look like an octopus, depending on how old the kid is. But you know what? That's amazing that they took the time and they put this down. Maybe you can tell these are little tentacly things. You know, maybe they look like jacked up tentacles. But by God, for a 2 or 3 or 4 year old, that's amazing. Stop what you're doing and let them know that that's important. Now, think about how that pays you off later. Later in life, when they're adolescents and they're playing their video games, and you come in to say something about something, what does that teach them that an adult does? That you stop what you're doing and you focus on the person talking to you. 99.9% of the time. When parents come to me talking about how their kids don't listen to them, guess who taught them to be that way? It ain't the little kid across the street. It ain't the kid at the school. It ain't the kid at the church. You taught them. Now, that was a slap to my face when I first started working on that concept. But you know what I found? It is unequivocally true. In almost every single case, whenever my kids are acting like turds, guess who taught them to be that way? Daddy did. Or mama. But I'm taking responsibility for myself in this case. Daddy did. Right? So, it's very important when your kids are wanting some praise from you, when they stop, when they show you this one, when they just stop what you're doing, turn around, you face them, you look at them while you're praising them. Right? Look at them. teaches them to do the same thing. Second off, I always recommend close the distance with them, right? So, and I'm really bad about this. My wife and I both will struggle with this from time to time. Like, I'll be working on some dishes and washing some dishes. My daughter will come and say, "Dad, look at this, you know, picture of this whatever I drew. Look, it's an octagon, right?" You know. And I mean, in reality, you know, it vaguely resembles my cell phone more than it resembles an octagon. But you know, hey, that's not the point, right? So stop. Close the space. Walk over to him. Get close to him. Again, what does that convey? You're important to me. What you're wanting recognition for is important to me, right? If you come in and you ask your boss, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And they go, and they never stop what they're doing. They continue working. Now, that might be good problem-solving skills, right? That might be multitasking very well. But doesn't it feel better when they stop and they look at you? Maybe if it's something that's really important to you, like you're wanting to ask off, they get up and they come over to you. "Hey, what's going on? You okay? You all right?" Right? They close that distance. That shows that they care. Same thing for us as parents with our kids. So stop what you're doing and get close to your kids. Third, don't tower over your kids. Now, I want you guys to imagine, like with smaller kids, you can be anywhere from 2.5 to 3 times taller than them, right? So I want you to imagine that a giant, 2 to 3 times your size, walked up to you and started talking to you. How are you going to feel? Maybe you're going to feel a little intimidated. Maybe you're going to feel a little bit nervous. Maybe they're perfectly friendly. But you know, when you've got somebody that just towers over you in size and strength and all that other good stuff and height and whatnot, you know, we get intimidated as individuals. Little kids are no different. So get down on their level. Don't tower over them. Take a knee. Sit in a chair. Sit on the floor. Whatever you got to do to get on their level. Because what that does is it takes the pressure and the stress of this hugely powerful being towering over us. And it calms them down and allows them to hear our compliments and our praise for them even better. So, whatever you're doing, stop. Get close to your kids. Don't tower over them and then give them the praise. Remember, there's two different types of praise. Praise them for whatever it is they're doing. "Dad, look at this. I tied my shoes." Stop. Walk over. Get down. "Wow, look at that. You tied a perfect knot. So proud of you, sugar. Good job. Wow, I am so impressed." Or, if it's not praise for being, what's the other praise? Praise for being. I think I just said that one a minute ago. Sorry, guys. Praise for being. Yeah, praise for doing and then praise him for being. So yes, randomly throughout the day, whether they're doing something or not, stop what you're doing, walk over to them, get down, look them in their sweet little eyes and say, "I am so glad you're my son. I am so glad you're my daughter." Well, Trey, what about this? What if I don't feel about that right about now? First off, you're not the only parent. You're not a bad parent. Sometimes kids act like little terrors and we don't like them, right? Sometimes we don't like them a lot. And I want you to hear me say, you're not a bad parent. So what do? If you don't have this relationship build up and you don't feel all the warmy, ooshy-gooshy stuff, do you still praise him for being? Abso-freaking-lutely. The human mind is very difficult to change when it believes in something. If you believe that your little kid is a hellion, terror, ballistic on wheels, then it is very difficult for the human mind to start ever seeing their actions as anything but such. You got to start addressing your thoughts and addressing what you're saying. So go ahead and stop. And force yourself, if you've got to. Get down on your knees. "I am so glad that you are my daughter." Even if it comes through gritted teeth, try to make it as authentic and genuine as possible. But start there. Practice all this other stuff with praise. Because remember, the more that you practice this praise with the other stuff, better the kids start feeling about themselves. The better that a kid feels about themselves, how do they act? They start to act better. And what'll happen is, you'll start to believe it eventually because they'll start to believe you. "Maybe I really am a good kid." And it just gets better, and it just gets better, and it just gets better. Praise is one of the most important things that you can do with your kids. It is one of the most powerful things that you can do with your kids. There's a lot more that we've got to learn before we can say we've got all that you need. But praise your kids. It is so very, very important that you build them up. Because I'll promise you this, there's going to be very few people out there that are going to praise them. They did a research article a while back and they asked kids, where is the biggest amounts of stress that they get from? Do you know where number one was? Home. If that doesn't punch you in the gut, I don't know what does, guys. the one place that's supposed to be, if you want to use a sailing example, it's supposed to be the calmest place where they can park their ship for a little while and harbor up. It's got nice, calm, tranquil waters where they can restock and reload and re-energize themselves before they go back out into the tumultuous sea again. Forgive the goofy example, guys, but it's so accurate. That's supposed to be our home, and yet in reality, they're saying the most stressful place, including school, which included things like gang violence at school and peer pressure. They still reported home life as being more stressful. You need your home to be a place where you're praising your kids, where they're recharging their batteries before they go back out to another day. Is your home that? I'm here to promise you this. It can be. It absolutely can be. Well, guys, that's all I had for today. As always, I want to say thank you for turning into another episode of Family Podcast Network. I appreciate y'all being here. Again, guys, please consider signing up. It really helps me out in getting a feel for who all's out there. I can see through my tracking software who's all out there and where we're coming from. It helps me kind of get a better tailor. But the bottom line is I'd love to see you guys sign up. Right now, everybody's taking emphasis on the Family Podcast. But I want you guys to start taking a part of the Family Podcast Network. I want you guys to start networking with each other. Hop on the forums now. I've got a tab up for the forums. Jump on the forums. Get in there and make some posts. Say hello. Introduce yourself. Take a look at some of the stuff. Post some issues you're having with your kids. I'll respond until we get a big enough network going that other families can start being able to contribute to that. But get on there, sign up. Take a look at our blogs now, guys. I've started putting up a blog. There's little things about parenting that don't necessarily warrant a full podcast. So I'm going to start blogging about little certain things, like busyness that we create as families. This last blog that I just did for our last episode this week references to passing on our values to our kids, teaching our kids what we believe, teaching our kids how to learn from our screw-ups so maybe they don't have to go through them as well. We're going to go over those, so get on the blog. Sign up online, sign up through WordPress, and get inside there and register for the site. Guys, if you have any questions, maybe there's something specifically you want to ask me about, feel free to shoot me an email, TreyGibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. That's TreyGibson @thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Shoot me questions, comments. I've got everything linked to my iPhone, so I can get your emails and I can get back to you as soon as possible. I always ask, too, to consider if Family Podcast Network has helped you in any way as a parent. Consider donating. You can become a member and you can donate. But let's say you just want to do a quick donation. You can just donate yourself some money. You don't even have to become a member. Just donate $5. If you feel like you can do $5 for this month, donate. And I've got it set up in other increments. Guys, again, thank you for being here. Thank you for stepping up and being those parents that are saying, you know what, I've got a lot of good habits and I've got a lot of bad ones. I want to learn how to be better. You guys are awesome for choosing to be a better parent, because it takes time and it takes effort, it takes energy, and so far it's taken 47 minutes and 58 seconds of your time, but you are ready to be the better parent for your kid. Don't forget, pass it along, guys. If you've got anybody that can benefit from this, the word of mouth is way better than any advertising I can ever do, so pass it along. I want to say thank you, guys. Remember, it's all about the relationships with your kids. That's the secret right there. You guys have a good day, and we'll see you at our podcast next week.